Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan.
This is Tee to Green, Central Ohio's premier golf show. Now here's your host, recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award by the Southern Ohio PGA of America and Hall of Fame, The Fan's own Skip Mossick.
Well, this is a rare occasion where Skip Mossick is getting a much-needed weekend off. Just a real nice surprise. He's somewhere probably on the Florida panhandle. He had an anniversary this week, so we wish our guy Skip Mossick well. I am Timmy Hall from Common Man and Timmy. You can hear that 3 to 6 every single weekday. I was not here this past week. I am coming off of a vacation myself, so I figured what better way to jump back into the pool than by talking some golf, because you know that when I go on a family vacation, there's little to no golf involved. It's not that type of thing. I feel weird about it. It's one of those things. I can't go out on a family vacation and feel comfortable taking my sticks. Typically, if I do that, I've done it before, but it would be one round and one round only. But then sometimes I feel a little bit of that added pressure if I were to take the golf clubs, like I was trying to escape whatever the activities were. So somewhere along the line, I think like the last two or three family trips I've gone on, I've just decided to leave the golf clubs at home. It's almost like a vacation from one of your big hobbies. I understand both sides. I really do. But I've found that I'm able to unwind and relax a little more if I take that break from golf every now and then, because as we all know, those of us that truly are married to this hobby, we love it to death. It is so embedded in our bones. Sometimes it's okay to take a little break from it. But, you know, it's one of the questions that I ponder and I think about all the time. If I weren't doing this, because if you didn't know, the other thing that I thought about doing for a living when it was time to fully take the plunge into this radio career, I had two jobs at golf courses and I had two jobs at radio stations. That's what the early days were like for me. When I was just getting done with college, I went to the University of Kansas, as you all know, finished up my time there and was trying to just make ends meet. So make as much money as you could and fill the schedule as well as you could. And I always had jobs at golf courses from the time I was 15 years old and had a worker's permit, because I just loved the game so much that I had to be around it. And I knew I wanted to be in sports radio or involved in sports some way, somehow. So that avenue became radio. It was the first thing that I got involved in when I was a student at KU. And that just happened to give me my path into my first internship, which was at a sports radio station, 610 Sports in Kansas City. So I've got a radio station in Lawrence, the radio station in Kansas City, a golf course in Kansas City, and a golf course in Lawrence. And I'm working four jobs and I'm trying to stay involved in everything. And if it wasn't going to be radio, I was more than happy to take my, they call it the PAT test. Everybody that's in golf knows about that, the player ability test. You have to shoot a certain target score to start going down the road. You talk about a long path and a long journey. You got to get all these books. You got to take these tests. I think you got to fly to Florida. I don't know if you can do this online anymore, but there was a long list of things that you had to do to get certified to become a assistant golf professional, to be on your way to becoming a head golf professional. And I was ready to do that. If it wasn't going to be radio, that was the only other thing that was in my mind that I wanted to do as bad as this. And you know what? Sooner or later, you make that decision. I'm totally happy with it. I think it's worked out great. And I get to stay connected to golf as a hobby, which, you know what? Somewhere along the line, I knew I was only get to a certain level. I was only going to get to a certain level as a player. And you can talk about how much time you get to practice and how your job takes it away from you. And yes, to an extent, that is true. But you know, by watching some of the other great young players, the scores that these guys are shooting in high school now, being on a high school golf team, but not really being able to make it into the starting rotation to play in the tournaments. And I didn't even think I was that bad of a player at that young age, where I was shooting in the mid to upper 80s, knowing that I had a lot to learn and a lot to improve on. But that's just how it goes. You know, you kind of have it or you don't. But the fun thing about this game for me is to just continue on as you get older. I don't know if there's certainly some things with your swing mechanics and things that you pick up on along the way. You take tips from your friends. You take tips from pros that you've come to know at clubs that you've been a part of or places that you've played. And I think also it's just the growing up. It sort of settles you down because I can't even say that I get to play. I don't play nearly as much golf as I did in my younger days when I was, you know, working like crazy, but still, you know, connected to golf courses. You work at a golf course to get the ability to play for free. That's the first part about it. Like that's why you do it, in part because you've got to play so bad. If there's daylight and you don't have anything else going on, that's what you do. So you play as much golf as you can and try to get your game and your scores as low as you can and then see where it goes. You know you're not going to play college golf, then whatever. Just keep playing, enjoy yourself, try to have fun. And for me, it's been a lifelong journey to just shoot par one day. And I haven't done it yet, but I still consider myself to be a pretty good player. Look, anybody that is under a 10 handicap, I forget what the stats show you, but you are in the top 10% of any golfer that plays this game. If you can break 80 every now and then, you are a really, really, really good player. So if you can do that, be proud of that. I spend so much time beating myself up and telling myself I sucked and that I wasn't any good at this game. That, to me, I think is the thing. As you get older, it's whenever you can figure out the attitude shift that has to happen to relax and play this game well and to be able to take a double bogey and then not throw everything else away on the front nine or the back nine, the entire round, whatever, and still keep going. You play less golf. That's how it's been for me because you have a job, you have things that you're focused on, you have a family, you have all these things. I just talked about family vacation I'm coming back from. It didn't have any golf involved. And in part, that is my choice too. So I think I'm on maybe six rounds of 18 all year and we're in mid-August. Some of you guys that might be in your young 20s, mid-20s, you're single, you've got a job, you might be like, huh, six rounds, that's what I played last week, right? Well, that's just how it goes sometimes. Still, I found a way as I got into my 30s, now I'm 41 years old, to continue to lower my handicap each year that I've gone. I've actually had a little bit of a setback this year because it's been less golf than I would have anticipated, but still, I don't mind that. I think it's been learning how to relax, learning how to be comfortable, and that's how you sort of figure it out. And it's different for everybody, but that's how it's been for me. So we're going to take a look at what's going on in professional golf and enough about me just yapping about my connection to the game. But I think that's what's fun about this sport for all of us, because it is the preeminent recreational game, right? We get to spend a lot of time out there, be outside, and hopefully have enough fun that allows us to keep coming back. But let's do some chip shots right now.
97.1 The Fan's Tee to Green Chip Shots, presented by BMI Federal Credit Union.
All right, so we are in the FedEx Cup playoffs right now. There's been some changes to the FedEx Cup format here. Now, the big change is when we get to that last tournament, a lot of the golfers, and I had a hard time understanding why exactly they wanted to push for this, but Scottie Scheffler was on board with this, and a lot of other golfers were calling for it too. They didn't want to have that staggered start when they get down to the final tournament, when they get to the Tour Championship, as in Scottie Scheffler gets a lead, you know, because he's performed so well over the course of the entire season that he gets that. That's his right. And the winner of the Tour Championship is going to be the FedEx Cup champion. So now they're taking that away. Everybody is just going to start where they start. They're still going to eliminate golfers from 70 to 50 to 20. That's where it's going to go. I'm sorry, did I say 20? I meant to say 30. You're shaving off 20 every step that we go. And so last week it was the Wyndham Championship. And I think this is interesting because Cam Young was the winner in the last tournament going into the FedEx Cup. And Cam Young, along with this other guy who's leading the tournament going into today, has been one of those guys that over the last few years, we said, you're one of the best players out there that just hasn't won a tournament. And so Cam Young checked that box last week. And now it's Tommy Ladd. That's right. Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood has, I think, 41 top 10 finishes, but has not been able to win on the PGA Tour out here in the States. He's won overseas. He's won in Europe before, but he hasn't been able to put it all together. And after two red hot rounds, he is contending. And he talked a little bit about that on if he's going to feel that pressure and contending for his first PGA Tour title this weekend.
Well, we'll see. You know, happy to put myself in with a chance over the weekend. I think, you know, this is exactly where you want to be and keep testing yourself. And yeah, it hasn't happened for me yet out on the PGA Tour, but I would much rather be up there and not quite getting it done than not there at all. And who knows, maybe this week is the week, and we'll see, and we'll crack on from there. But, you know, look forward to tomorrow first. Yeah.
You got two incredible Englishmen that are at the top of the leaderboard. So chasing Tommy Fleetwood, who sits at 13 under par going into today at the FedEx St. Jude Championship, first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs, is Justin Rose. Two guys I respect, two guys I really enjoy watching. I think I love these guys as people, too. I always say know who you know. I've never met either one of them, but on the surface, both of these dudes seem like they're very, very cool guys. Fleetwood again on two red hot rounds. He shot 63 on Thursday, 64 yesterday. This is what was up.
To stay hot early on from what I had on the back nine yesterday. And it's, you know, it's one great round is, you know, great, but to follow it up feels really, really nice. So they were, I mean, a faster start today. Then a bit quieter in the middle, and then it was like I got on a run at the end as well. So there was definitely similarities, but just nice to be in that, you know, flow of things going for you. And I made, you know, two or three great par saves today. And yeah, you know, both rounds really felt like things, you know, flowed at certain times. And that's, you know, you want to make the most of that when that happens.
All right, Tommy Fleetwood, good luck to him. It's one of those things where you know what these guys face, you know how good of a player he is. Just because he hasn't won on tour doesn't mean that he's not one of the top players in the world. But there's just a thing where you've got to crack through. If you want to take that next step in your career, you do have to validate that with a win. And then maybe more are going to follow after he gets that done. So three shot lead. Of course, this thing is not in the bag. You've got a lot of holes left to play. We've seen this guy have leads on Sundays. We've seen this guy just a month ago, have a lead on the 72nd hole. And Keegan Bradley went and ripped that thing right away from him. So that's how it's going for Tommy right now. Best of luck to him the rest of this weekend. We're going to talk to my guy, Glenn Johnson. He's the director of golf at York Golf Club. If this is a course that you have looked at, it's private, but I know there's always ways to finagle that and to get onto a golf course in this town. It is one you definitely want to put on your list in Central Ohio if you have not played. We're going to talk to my guy coming up here. It's Tee to Green on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your Heritage Sports Talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now that we're done washing our balls, it's time to tee it back up. This is Tee to Green with Skip Mossick on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Timmy Hall is in for Skip Mossick today. I can't wait to get back to Common Man and Timmy Monday at 3 o'clock, but I figured what better way to come back from vacation than to talk a little bit of golf. This game that we love so much, that can be so difficult at times, but we keep coming back. I forgot to say in the first segment there when going over some chip shots, we went over the FedEx Cup and how Tommy Fleetwood is the leader going into the weekend. He hasn't won on the PGA Tour. He is so good. He has accomplished so much at every single level. He just hasn't gotten it done on the PGA Tour in the States. This could be the weekend. The Corn Ferry Tour, that of course is the B Tour. And we always have a great event here in Central Ohio at Scarlet at the end of the season. It's one of their playoff events as well. And it has an impressive list of winners. Go back and look at that. Justin Thomas, Scottie Scheffler before he blew up. They have won here on the Corn Ferry Tour in Central Ohio. Well, one of our great Buckeye golfers of the last decade, Neil Shipley, he has been crushing it on the Corn Ferry Tour. He is third on the money list this year. He's made over $500,000 playing golf on the Corn Ferry Tour. Good for him here in 2025. And so he is looking really, really good to get that PGA Tour card to play on the big tour next year. They are playing the Pinnacle Bank this week, and he's in the mix. He's tied for 36 right now at 3 under par. He's 6 shots off. We've seen what Neil can do in just one round, so that'll be interesting to see what he does the rest of the weekend. All right, it is time for some Backspin. We're going to talk to my guy, Glenn Johnson from York Golf Club.
This is Backspin. Tee to green. Backspin.
Glenn, so good to have you on the program, man. How is everything going up there at the club this morning? Glenn has been at York Golf Club for a long time, and I've had the privilege to play out there for 6 years now. Gosh, yep. I really appreciate you having me out there year after year, Glenn. It's been amazing.
Well, we love having you. You don't play quite enough, but we do love having you up here. It's always good to see you.
I know. What is the deal with having this career and not getting all that time on the golf course? But I know, Glenn, you working in golf, because that was the thing. I thought that was the other thing that I wanted to do in my life. But then I see guys like you, you hardly ever get to go out there and enjoy a nice round of 18 because you're working so much. You're working your butt off.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those deals. You gotta make hay when the sun is shining, and that's kind of what we do. So from about the beginning of April for the next, I'd say 6 to 8 weeks, we go hard. And, you know, when I can play hooky and sneak out and play, I certainly try to do that. And, you know, some years it's a little better than others, but I've actually played a little bit this year. Nothing competitively, but I've been getting on the golf course a little bit.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you've been able to play a little bit more. And that's the thing, Glenn, I'm wondering, you know, and part of what I wanted to do here, in addition to talking about the club and what's going on up there at York, one of the great places to play here in Central Ohio, is to get some tips from a pro. Like, for instance, if there's some other people out there like me that have a lot going on in their daily lives, but you love the game so much, I know there's a lot of different ways to get your practice in. We have golf sims now, which you can get around in less than an hour, even when it's really hot out or in the dead of the winter. But as far as other things too, practicing your short game, there are other things that you can do in the office or things that you can just do mentally to try to prepare for your next time on the course.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, if I did have one little tip for you, if you want to try to play more, because this has worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
My wife now is back into golf after 22 years after our son was born. She kind of put golf on the back burner, but she's back into it in a big way now. So that gets me out in the evening some to scoot around 9 holes. So that's a tip I'd have for you there, Tim. If you can get your wife to play, you might find yourself on the golf course a little more.
Oh my God. I mean, I think we'd have to have a seance to be able to get my wife to play golf. I don't know if we could do that. You are truly a miracle worker. That would be something that would be incredible. I think for me, most of it is getting into that backyard. If you're able, like, there's all these companies out there that can do backyard putting greens. That was something for me that I actually got to put in. It was a week and a half before the pandemic rolled in and shut down the entire world. So it was good timing that I had something to do back there in 2020, but a way to just go out there and roll putts. And it actually comes back to bite me, because then when you have a bad day on the greens, people look at you and say, aren't you the guy with the putting green? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Who knew? It's different speed out here, guys.
Yeah, it's a little different. But, you know, you were talking about how you can prepare yourself if you're not playing a lot. And what can you do to give yourself the best opportunity for success when you do play? And I'm a big believer in plan conservatively, swing aggressively. If you're constantly out there trying to pull off shots that have less than a 50-50 chance of being successful, I think, you know, it's very difficult to put a confident swing on a high risk shot. But when you're planning conservatively, giving yourself, you know, just working the numbers, working the percentages, very easy to swing aggressively. So that would be my big thing for someone who's not playing a ton, but still wants to figure out a way to get around the golf course in as few strokes as possible.
You know what? That's actually such great advice, because a lot of people that will go out there and, you know, that you're a certain level of player, you want to have a lot of fun, so maybe you're a longer hitter, but your scores aren't as low. You get that chance for a par five, you are just John Daly gripping it and ripping it, right? And your advice right there gives you sort of the opportunity to do both in the same round. Like, you pick that side of the hole that's the smartest side of it, that has the least amount of trouble, but you still you know, grip that club and take a good aggressive cut, because nothing good happens for the average golfer when you're trying to guide it out there.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And then, but the other side of that coin is, if you're not playing a ton, and you get out on the golf course, you know, if I don't know if I'm going to play for 2 weeks, I might try to pull something off, but it's going to be better to just kind of pump the brakes a little bit and stay conservative. And when you putt out on 18, I think you'll find that the results will speak for themselves.
That's awesome. Glenn Johnson is the director of golf up at York Golf Club. It is a gem here in Central Ohio. Tell us what's going on at the club. How, I assume membership is still full, but there's always ways to get on the list, to call you guys up, come and see the clubhouse, see the course, get a practice round in. What's the latest up there? Just turned 100 years old a couple seasons ago.
Yeah, last year was our 100th anniversary, so we celebrated that all year and had a wonderful time doing that. And we're on a little bit of a wait list now for membership, but we're taking people onto the wait list. You know, your guy Brian up here is wonderful at managing all that stuff. So anybody that's interested and wants to kick the tires, reach out to us. We're happy to talk with you. So, but no, the club is doing well. 100 years. I feel like maybe I've been here for just about all of them, but in truth, it's only been about 24. I think I'm finishing my 24th season this year.
How would you, for somebody that hasn't played York, how would you describe it to somebody? What's different about this one than some of the other courses here in Central Ohio, both private and public?
So, we're on a smaller footprint. So in fact, as I'm talking to you now, I'm looking at 16 green, 17 fairway, 15 tee, 14. So I'm standing, you can probably picture where I am on that hill, back behind the clubhouse, just kind of looking down towards the Olentangy River.
Oh yeah.
But it's a demanding, shot maker course in the sense that the fairways are pretty narrow and the greens are very small. I mean, 100 years ago, they just didn't build, you know, the greens complexes that we do today. So, you know, it's not necessarily difficult, but it can be a challenge to hit a lot of greens out here. So you're going to want to have your short game working for certain. And the other thing is that we're on a piece of property that you just don't find around here in Central Ohio, because we run up and down hills and, you know, we play out to High Street up top for most of the front nine. Then we play down to the river, and there's some really good elevation changes out here. And as a result, the course ends up playing a lot longer than its yardage. So it's probably the longest 6,500 yard golf course that you'll play.
It is really a fun course, and that's what I keep telling people about it. And you just illustrated it really well. It's not the longest golf course, but boy, can it beat you up, because what it lacks in length, it makes up for with some of the placement of the trees and the greens and the speed of those greens. And if you get above the hole, it's like you say in a lot of, you know, big time golf courses, it is a dangerous place to be above the hole.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's easy to get above the hole because the greens are, you know, our greens on average are probably about 28 paces deep. So, you know, you get a front pin, there's a good chance you're going to be above it.
Glenn, are we going to be playing golf after Christmas this year? I feel like we get those. I think we had that opportunity last year. I think there was golf on Christmas Day.
It was. Yeah. I mean, it seems like every year, it seems like we need to shift the calendar 1 month to the right. And because we're playing a lot more in November and December than we ever did. And it feels like we're playing less in March than we used to. So, so we fully expect to be, going full speed in November, and the diehards we'll have out here in December. So we got a lot of golfers out here. We are York's golf club. So, only golfers are members here. So if it's above 40 degrees, they go.
Hey, that's the other great thing too. Country clubs are fine, but York is a golf club. We play golf up there. There's no tennis. There's no swimming. We play golf when we go up there, and we got a nice little grill as well to get some good food when we're done. Glenn, I can't wait to get back up there soon and log another round. Thank you for everything. And thanks for the tips as well for all of us out here today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks, Tim.
All right, Glenn, have a good one, my man. There he goes. Glenn Johnson, director of golf at York Golf Club. We keep things rolling here. We're going to go on the range when we come back. It is Tee to Green right here on The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destined. Yeah, 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 sure. You're a 20 handicap when there's money on the line. A sandbagger's paradise. You're listening to Tita Green with Skip Mossick on The Fan.
Hey, I was just talking about it. A rejoin made for Scotty Vegas. How about that? I'm kidding, Scotty. I'm kidding. But no, I'm not. You know it's true. Timmy Hall in for Skip Mossick here today. I told you about that unbelievable prize pack. Titleist golf balls. We've got the pack for rounds at the Virtues, which is incredible, and some scratch for Fairway Columbus. Beautiful indoor golf center that I've been out to a few times there. Great, great people running that place, too. So 821-9710, punch that in, 821-9710. Adam, let's go with caller number 9 for that wonderful prize pack. And thank you guys for listening to Tee to Green, the place for golf here in Central Ohio. Now, Scotty Scheffler is the world number one. Even if he's not the world number one, I'm still just going to call him the world number one because he's that good of a player. And the run that he's on, I'll even throw in his performance on Happy Gilmore 2 as part of the run that he's on. I thought he was easily the best current golfer because there were some elder statesman guys. Jack Nicklaus had a good couple of lines. He had the Arnold Palmer line, but Scotty and him being in jail and seemingly not wanting to leave, his one-liners, his deadpan humor, it was pretty good. I thought, you know, between Bryson and Brooks and Rory and Xander, Morikawa, Scotty Scheffler was easily the best current golfer in Happy Gilmore 2. But he was asked this question going into the tournament here this week about the last, and it's funny too. I don't know. I would have never thought to ask him this kind of question, but you know how the saying goes, the rich get richer. When you're rich and famous, you don't really have to pay for a whole lot of stuff, but they're the ones that actually could afford to pay for a lot of this because he has more money than he could ever know what to do with. We did all this talking about how these guys don't have enough rights. They can't make enough money, make their own schedule. We got to go do the live golf thing, get everybody paid more. And then Scotty goes and makes, I believe it was over $100 million in 2024. And a lot of it was on the course. Sure, he made a ton in endorsements, but I think 60% of that was on the course with the $30 million FedEx Cup bonus, all the other winnings he had, signature events. You can give Liv a little bit of credit for pushing them to get those signature events done, but they could have done that without it. I'll hold on a second with the music. Kill the music 1 second. 1 second here, because I want to give you Scotty on the last time he had to play, he had to pay money to play golf. This was Scotty.
Last time I paid for a round of golf, it's been a while. I remember the last time I didn't get to pay for a round of golf, and one of my buddies in the pro shop had to pay for the round of golf. That was pretty funny. We kind of walked into the pro shop at a local public course, and I knew the pro there, and so I was like, "Hey, Scotty, how you doing? Great to have you out." And I was like, "Hey, man, I'd like to, you know, just pay for the round. We're teeing off at 2. He's like, "No, no, you're good." And my buddy was like, "Oh, thanks, man. That's awesome. Appreciate it." He's like, "Actually, you got to pay." And it was probably 5 years ago, and it's, I mean, we still laugh about it this day because he was so excited to get the free round, and the pro was like, "Actually, you're still paying, buddy."
Still got to pay. The buddy has to pay. Scotty Scheffler, because he's Scotty, does not have to. So unbelievable stuff right there out of my guy, Scotty Scheffler. That's how it goes. That's how it goes. Who was it right now? Who was our winner again, Adam? Drew from Kirkersville got it done. Now you can play me out here. I had to get my Scotty Scheffler bite in over our music right there. But it was so much fun. I hope you guys are going to have some great fun out there wherever you're going to play this weekend. Whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, whether you got some days off early next week, I hope you get some time to head out onto the course, crack a few beverages, and try to lower those scores. And you know what? If you don't want to take any of the advice that you heard from our guy, Glenn Johnson, our director of golf at York Golf Club, who joined us earlier, which was play conservative, swing aggressive, then you know what? Just go with that John Daly method and just go out there and grip it and rip it. For Adam Letak, we've got Fan Sports Saturday coming up with Pat Murphy and Eric Reeser. This has been Tee to Green. Skip Mossick, we'll see you next week.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan. Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan. Sports Center.
And I'm Nate Puderball. In the NFL, it was the Shador Sanders Show in Carolina as the Browns beat the Panthers 30-10. Sanders made his highly anticipated NFL debut, going 14-23 for 138 yards and 2 touchdowns. He and Daniels grabbed both touchdowns in the second quarter. Carolina QB Bryce Young had a quick but effective night, going 4-for-6 for 58 yards and a touchdown. In baseball, the Reds blew a lead in Pittsburgh when the Pirates' Ryan Reynolds had a 2-out, 2-run triple in the 8th to beat the Reds 3-2. The Reds will try to end their 3-game skid tonight at 6:40. Nick Martinez taking on the Pirates' Braxton Ashcraft. Catch the action right here on The Fan. And in Chicago, the Guardians blasted the White Sox 9-5, extending their winning streak to 4 games. Carlos Santana drove in 4, and rookie C.J. Kapish added a 3-run double in the win. Game 2 of their series is tonight at 7:10. Joey Cantillo taking on the White Sox' Sean Burke.